darlings. I'm Charlize, the founder of online storytelling platform Girls Will Be Boys, and this is Say It With Your Chest, a podcast which aims to shine light on the corners of important conversations which are so often missed out of the media or seen as taboo. This Girls Will Be Boys podcast offers you an opportunity to enter different people's worlds, share unfiltered conversations, and encourage our guests to say it with their chest.
I'm sorry, but you know your genitals, my love.
Period.
I mean, to think that someone is still defined by the genitals, are you really just that? Inside the trans community, there is non-binary and binary people, both trans, and that has to be understood. The gender binary is racist, you know, and a lot of people is like, oh, you're crossing some lines here. Like, what is going on, right? Especially, like, of course, white people who just are really uncomfortable about that.
Today, I am here with the incredible Joss. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, Char. Well, I'm Joss Jacob. I'm an activist. She does a bit of everything. She's shaking the system. She's back in Spain trying to change legislation. While doing it, serving a look just so people can remind what we're saying. And just, you know, not the words, but the look and everything. And understand that we are here with a purpose. So, yeah, trying to shake the establishment.
Period. And what are your pronouns?
My pronouns are she, her, but I also go by they, them.
Okay, wonderful. I wanted to get straight into talking about pronouns, actually, because yes, obviously we have been friends for a while.
Yeah.
And I have just seen your journey of blossoming into the incredible person that you just continued to be. And I know that we had a conversation around the fact that in Spain, pronouns have been a bit of a struggle for you. Do you want to talk a bit more about like how the language created that barrier?
I think, you know, in English, you already have an existing word, right? For the gender neutral ones, you have they, them, which you use on a daily in many occasions, and not even to just refer to gender neutral, you know, people. So it is ingrained in the way you speak. For us, we didn't have a word, so we had to create one. That means that it's going to shock a lot of people. That means that a lot of people are going to say, you are inventing someone. So we had to create the gender neutral pronoun, which is ella. So we have el y ella, which is she, he, her. And then you have ella, which is this mix of both to kind of refer to the people who just reject, you know, the binary expectations of gender. So that created something that got so much attention on the media everywhere. Obviously, you know, I've been in TV doing stuff and speaking about it and using, you know, terms that are neutral. And that was challenging in a way that it hasn't been done before. Mm. It hasn't been said before. Mm. And that was confusing. So I believe that for change, you need to provoke a little bit the actual structures where everything stands up. And it was, you know, a nice challenge to start a conversation around neutrality. The only problem is that you portrayed it as this new thing because the word is new, but you're speaking about something that is not new.
Mm. That's kind of similar to what happened with non-binary even.
Like, exactly.
Not necessarily with the pronouns of they, them, but like with the term non-binary. Everyone was like, oh, you're inventing something new. It's like, it's not actually new.
It is not. And that's the most interesting thing about it, because you know, part of my job is to remind people that we are not the ones creating some sort of brainwash. Because there's this image about us, right? Like we have this trans agenda, so we want to implement this new thing. Mm. And it is not new. Non-binary is the actual term that we have in this Western society to refer to a word that originally could be to spirit, right? From indigenous lands. Like it is a word that most people understand just to challenge the binary system. So we added the non at the front of the word. But there is an interesting history behind it. Mm. I think people are missing out on this part. You know, there's been a conscious erasure of this understanding, this ancient understanding of self from indigenous lands, that they were you know, there was an expansion of the gender. There was a huge spectrum. There was a different understanding, a more vast understanding of who you were and your expression and your identity. And now we have this new brainwash, which is the binary, which is, you know, what's female, what's male, what's feminine, what's masculine. And it's so interesting because then you realize, oh, these people that look like that, they're not trying to brainwash me. You know, it's like I've been brainwashed already. And I think that's the biggest awakening.
Yeah, it's like people. Reverse brainwash, but people think it's just the brainwash. But it's, yeah, reverse brainwashing. So, I mean, in terms of, because I want to get onto the legal stuff in a bit, but in terms of your personal journey, how do you feel like living in Spain for a lot of your life impacted your journey of self-discovery and how you've been able to find yourself and find how you're comfortable? How do you feel like living in Spain impacted that?
I mean, to start, I found myself here.
In London.
In London. Then had to go back. And that was a shock, you know, because society is not that ready to speak about certain things. And even though Spain is one of these countries where you would be like, oh, LGBTQ plus inclusive. Well, let me tell you.
Well,
I think, and that is reflected on the laws, on the ways we have certain legislation that has been approved, but not implemented, so it's not working. You know, that says a lot about how the country works. It's like we want to be, to have this label of inclusivity, but then we don't really have it. So taking it to the personal stage, it was hard to go back. I had to get in therapy because mentally, you know, there's a lot of pushback and there's a lot of harassment and there's a lot of, you know, microaggressions and not that micro. So coming from a place where I felt accepted, I felt like I had, you know, a voice, people who understood, people who were similar to me, it was a place for growth and also for healing, which I think is so important because the more you deconstruct yourself, the more you heal aspects that have been imposed on you through fucking colonization, right? And we have to deconstruct that. The more you do that work, the more you feel yourself in your skin. And then going back, I was like, okay, pandemic hits. And that was a time of, you know, retrospective, kind of like put things into perspective, kind of understand who you are. You have a lot of time with yourself. And that's when everything started for me with transness as a whole, right? Because when you knew me, it was like non-binary, which is, you know, it's a term that lives under the trans umbrella. But then there's all these, there's an actual conversation that is so interesting saying how non-binary people who are trans and binary people who are trans are different in a way. And there's been so much segregation on that, which I hate to see because at the end of the day, we experience the same violence from this, you know, patriarchal system. And at some point I was like, then if I start doing some sort of transition when I'm, and I'm speaking about like a medical transition, am I not non-binary anymore, right? Because there's this understanding, like if you modify your body, you are pursuing the binary standards. And it was hard to kind of accept, understand, digest that that was okay.
Yeah.
But there's actually non-binary people who need gender-affirming healthcare and gender-affirming procedures, like different types of like even surgeries, you know, like that is also part of transness in the field of non-binary people. And I think that was the biggest challenge, to accept that, to navigate that, and then to be able to say to people, actually, I've always said something since the beginning, which is that gender evolves.
Yeah.
I think naturally it should evolve, right? It's, to me, and I know that sounds a bit, not polemic, but you know, to me, gender should evolve naturally. I think we are not limited. We've been told to be limited by certain things about who we are, the way we present ourselves, our identity and expression. But we are way more than that. You know, we are connected to bigger things. And the human experience is so diverse.
Yeah.
There's no absolute way we can categorize that in just two groups.
So how do you feel that you managed to navigate what you've just spoken about? Because obviously you said it was something new that you had to learn to accept and like to navigate. How did you do that?
Good question. I don't know if I have the answer to that. It's just like, you know, once you start deconstructing aspects of yourself, it kind of gets easier to deconstruct other aspects of your life. So it was just first understand that this is a journey, that you don't have to get anywhere, that this is a constant journey of deconstruction, of self-acknowledging, of understanding, learning. And then I think the biggest challenge to me was just to exist in the process.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that is easy, you know. There's a lot of expectations, there's a lot of pressure. And what helped was I did a video saying, I just hope none of you, you know, on social media, I was like, none of you put expectations on the way I'm going to look in 1 year. Because, you know, it's really easy for people to see us only as valid if we fit certain standards.
Yeah.
Once we say, hey, I am trans and I'm navigating transness in that sense, because they expect you to get bigger breasts. They expect you to get bottom surgery. They expect you to get whatever, like remove all your body hair. So there's this constant expectations and this pressure that you have to deal with. So I think setting up boundaries about who you are, about your needs, and not being shy to say those, because I think a lot of people just, you know, hold back because it's like, oh, I'm going to be rude. No. I think it's your life, it's your body, it's your identity, and you have the right to say whatever feels more comfortable to you. So that was probably the breaking point, you know, saying, hey, I'm not going to allow this to happen.
Yeah.
You know, you can think whatever you want about me, but you're not going to put expectations on me. And that created a healthy relationship with the whole process, which still, you know, in the midst of it.
Yeah. So what is the work that you're doing to change legislation? What can you explain what it is or what's the process, and yeah, just from start to finish, how it came about and what's currently going on?
You mean personally
or just with
legislation and the government? Yeah, so it all happened kind of like naturally, like in a really organic way. When I went back, I had this TV interview which was a disaster.
What happened?
They called me the F word and all of that. It was national TV.
I'm so sorry.
And yeah, it was interesting. It was intense. And then I realized, wow, we have so much work to do. You know, like they were comparing non-binary people to really silly stuff that had nothing to do with gender. So then that kind of light up a fire under my ass. And I was like, there's things to be done here, because that cannot be what's portrayed outside. That cannot be what other little queer kids are going to see and believe. They cannot get that humiliation, you know. And if it's allowed on TV, it is allowed on the streets.
Yeah.
Because that translates, right? And at some point I was like, okay, let's do something. So I created this visual project, which was, it's called Street Harassment. And it's a little video that kind of reports the abuse that we face on a daily, on the streets. And, you know, it was an artistic way to kind of shake the mentality of people. And that led to me making a couple petitions on change.org to one for the UK and one for Spain, because I cannot help it, but my heart is here.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I love certain things about Spain, but my heart is here.
Yeah.
London is home, you know that. Alongside this video called Street Harassment, there were some petitions that, you know, they were trying to push for this legislative change when it comes to self-identification, right? And we have some laws in Spain, which again, are outdated. The ones that are actually working right now that are in place are from 2007. So wow. That is a long time ago. That means, of course, there's been an evolution. And I think, as I said, gender evolves. You know, there's different needs. There's different understanding of the situations. And I think there has to be a constant update when it comes to that. But that should be taken, you know, as a norm, like keep checking the legislation every couple of years at least. Because there's changes. See how the vocabulary is just evolving like crazy. Yeah. Every single time there are more terms to describe someone's identity. And I think that's beautiful. And I hope, it gives me goosebumps, I hope it stays like that. Because that means we are acknowledging diversity. We are acknowledging different life experiences. And that cannot go unseen. It is important, because that literally translates into saving lives, into giving someone you know, the right words to understand themselves. Because mm-hmm. I don't think a lot of people can understand who they are.
I definitely think language helps with identification, like in mostly all situations. If you have the language to describe it, it's a lot easier to also for other people to understand it. It just helps.
100%.
Yeah.
And that should be understood, you know? The thing is also that, so after that video that we made, this little film with Leo Def, which is an amazing videographer, he's great, love him to bits. So I did a YouTube series with someone in Spain who's pretty well known. He's a YouTuber, Luke Loren. And he was like, I think you need to say these things out loud to a bigger platform. And, you know, I was hesitant because I received the first reaction of the TV interview, which was a disaster. I was like, how is this going to go? So we did it. We did 3 episodes. And then from that, another TV interview came with bigger TV channel. That was respectful. That was the first time that I had an honest conversation with someone that was interested, someone who wanted to learn. And it is said even in the interview, they kept it in. They said, she said literally like, I'm bringing notes because I really want to learn a lot about what you have to say. And I started to understand that there were people who actually want to change.
Yeah.
So all this craziness, this in the media, then the government contacted us and we got to speak with the Ministry of Equality to say what the needs were for non-binary people. And it was so interesting. And I'm not saying interesting in the best way, because I found myself explaining the difference between gender and sex because it was not clear. So what I'm saying is that the government doesn't really have the words, the vocabulary, the knowledge to decide on our identities. And I'm speaking about people who are supposed to know about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can understand it somehow because it's an ever-evolving conversation and sometimes you are really detached from that depending on where you work. But if you're going to be deciding on people's lives, you should know.
Yeah.
You know?
Or at least be willing to learn.
Yeah. So it's like they heard us. And since there, since that moment, these words, these terms, non-binary, ella, which is the gender neutral term, started appearing in those conversations, in TV, in the media, when there was something going on in the government.
Yeah.
So that was something. And then now, the current moment, there has been a law that has been approved, which is the trans law. We call it La Ley Trans, which is a law that just recognizes binary trans people. It's good. It's a step forward.
Yeah.
It is good. It's great. But again, I think there's a misunderstanding when it comes to the trans community. You know, inside the trans community, there is non-binary and binary people, both trans, you know. And that has to be understood because if you see the percentages, there's more non-binary people than binary trans people when it comes to, you know, giving them the terms, when they understand, a lot of people relate to that. A lot of people vibrate with that identity. So it cannot be ignored because that means that if we are not present in legislation, then we cannot be protected because we don't exist. It's like we're being erased from the conversation when we are the ones who are creating the conversation, right?
Yeah.
So it's this constant fight. I understand that, you know, it's a process and it's legislation and it is Spain.
That leads me on to something I wanted to talk to you about, actually. So our tagline for Girls with Boys is it always binary? Because I just feel like that's a great umbrella for, it just encompasses everything that we talk about, all the kind of topics. It's like, is it always binary? Is it just black and white? And I wanted to ask you, because for me, quite obviously, that is a rhetorical question. So in terms of what you were just saying, what do you feel are the misconceptions that are ironic towards non-binary people and sort of like that link, that question where people would say, yes, it is always binary. What are the misconceptions? Yeah.
Well, of course, it's not always binary. Needless to say that. I think the misconception, the biggest one is that we are freaks that don't exist, you know, that we are people who are bored and we're trying to, you know, just look a certain way, create looks. It's not about that. If I dress like that, it's because I want to. You know, I have non-binary friends who, they don't look like me. And that is absolutely fine because there is no one way to be. And I think, again, the biggest misconception is trying to put a look on us, trying to make us into a box.
Like one size fits all for being non-binary.
Yeah. And this is what, I mean, non-binary is about the opposite. Is about existing outside those standards, existing outside those gender roles that have been oppressing us all, you know? They're outdated. I mean, what's masculine and feminine anymore? I really don't get it, honestly. You can tell me that, you know, there are certain things that are masculine and feminine because society has told you that. But then it's up to us to ask ourselves, okay, how much of who I am, it's me, and how much of who I am, it's social coding. And I think, you know, that shakes a lot of people because it questions a lot of who you are. Because then you get to understand that actually, yeah, well, maybe I'm not everything they said. But I understand that there's fear when it comes to that, because it means kind of stop believing on everything you've been told. But let me tell you, they're just light at the end of that. They're just freedom. They're just a beautiful spectrum of identities where you can just fit into something and feel like you belong. I think it's a beautiful journey, you know, that most people could. And here's the thing, you can question yourself and find yourself in the same place. That's fine. But at least question it. It takes nothing, you know, and it's just beautiful to acknowledge that we exist there. And that's the thing with non-binary identities. We exist there where there are no norms, where the heteronormative standards are not a thing, not a thing. And people would not be able to box us. Even if they try so hard, they won't be able to. So that's the biggest, is the thing that we have to fight the most.
I think that word fear is so, it's just present in a lot of phobia things.
Oh, yeah.
Homophobia, yeah. Like transphobia. It's always fear. And I think it's like fear of the unknown, because that's not how certain people identify. And I just always remember one thing that my mum would say. It's like, you don't have to understand it, but you need to respect it.
And well, your mum is wise.
Yeah, she raised me. I think that is one message that needs to be pushed more. It's like, you don't need to understand everything, especially if something isn't your experience. You're less likely to fully understand it because you've not experienced it. That is normal. Exactly. You don't need to understand it, but you need to respect that that is that person's reality. And I think that is also a message that is missed out of the conversation. And it's less about proving the worth and why you need to this and why that. It's just like, you don't need to know. You just need to respect it. It doesn't have any effect on you. Like, a non-binary person existing does not affect you as a cis person in any way.
It actually doesn't.
It doesn't. And rights for trans people and non-binary people does not affect your rights as a cis person. That, I think, is like also the irony as well. It's like that a lot of people think it will take away from their privileges.
Yeah.
It's really not gonna.
It's not. And you said something really good, really interesting, and really like that was spot on. How to get into that? Basically, you were saying how we're not here to take anyone's rights away, right? Why is that true? Why we're not a threat to other people who navigate femininity? Or, you know, there's this huge movement with TERFs and, you know, trans exclusionary radical feminists who are really trying to, yeah, just say that we are a joke, that we don't exist. Why is it important to understand that we have to be in those conversations? If we're talking about creating legislation, it cannot be created by people who doesn't live the reality, you know? It cannot be created. We have a system right now that is made of, you know, men deciding on
everything.
Body autonomy of, you know, reproductive rights, for example, for women and people who can, you know, reproductive rights. Then we have, you know, cisgender people deciding on trans people. And we have white people deciding on black bodies, like what's going on, right? So we're still allowing for that. And I don't see people going out in the street just for that reason. You know, there is a movement in different parts of the globe where there's more acknowledgement of that, and there's more action when it comes to saying we're not okay with it, so we're gonna do something about it. But there's so much comfort in thinking, if it's not me, I don't have to go there, I don't have to support it. And it is really important to understand that trans liberation means liberation for every single person on earth. Because that means, especially from a non-binary perspective, because that means we are dismantling the oppressive mechanisms that have been implemented for so long that affect everyone, you know, like women and men, and I'm talking about cisgender people, they also get this pressure. They also have to, you know, submit to these standards to fit in the idea of what it is to be a man or a woman. And that is oppression, but it's been normalized.
Yes.
It's been digested as something that it's okay because I have to. Because I was born with certain genitalia. I'm sorry, but you know your genitals, my love.
Period.
I mean, to think that someone is still defined by the genitals, are you really just that? Because that's sad to me, right? I think we are so much more. And it is okay to navigate the world as a woman and as a man. We're not trying to, you know, erase that. We're just trying to acknowledge all the options that are also there that are as valid as men and women.
That, what everything you just said there was just like... so good, so precise. It just hit. It's so true.
I'm glad it's like
yes, liberation for trans people, for non-binary people, is liberation for all, and it is oppression to have to fit into the binaries of man and woman, and people who are so forcing, no, there still needs to be binaries. Do you not understand you're missing out?
They are truly missing
on
out.
Liberation of freedom of expression, of
for themselves,
of that, it's very, that was a golden nugget.
Thanks, I'm glad. Yeah, and here's the thing, you know, when we speak, we spoke about systemic oppression a lot, that we've had conversations about that, and a lot of people, you know, are trying to separate different systemic oppressions, but one thing that I do, and I think it's my duty as someone who's white, and, you know, I profit from whiteness, because it's a system that has been implemented for hundreds of years, and just because I'm white, I get to navigate certain spaces easily, and I get to have an authority, and I get to have a truth that is not questioned, right? So it is my duty to remind people that the gender binary is racist, you know, and a lot of people is like, oh, you're crossing some lines here, like what is going on, right? Especially, like, of course, white people who just are really uncomfortable about that. But I think it's important to remember that the gender binary was promoted by whiteness, by colonialism, you know. It was implemented to separate people, to kind of create a class, to create a race. All of that, you know, it's important to acknowledge, because we are trying to get back this understanding and this knowledge from the past. So we have to look at the past and what happened in the past, right? I know it's, at first, if you haven't heard about this before, to think that it's not, I'm not saying that if you're a man or a woman, you're racist. It's not like that. I'm just saying the structure that upholds the binary, it's rooted in whiteness. That means that it's segregating, that it's not inclusive. And that means that it was made for white people, to the point where if you look back in history, they were telling black people that they were not even human just because they were not fitting those standards that whiteness implemented, which is crazy to me. And it is my duty to remind this to people. And of course, you know, this conversation in Spain, it's, I think it's easier here.
Yeah.
Because there's more understanding of racism.
Yeah.
Spain is so racist to the point that it's bad. So it's important to understand that, you know, systemic oppression comes hand in hand in many ways. And if we want to dismantle the gender binary, we have to dismantle racism. At least, you know, racism in the institutions, we have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And I know that that is a challenge that a lot of people is like, oh, it's been so many years, I don't give a shit.
It's not my problem.
Right?
Anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, it is your fucking problem. I don't know if I'm allowed to curse here, but I'm sorry.
Oh, it's my podcast, you can put.
Okay.
You can curse all you like.
It's important to understand that these things go linked. And, you know, there's some activists in certain countries who are just speaking about being non-binary, you know, gender. And it's like, yeah, but why do we start that fight? Where does the knowledge come from? Indigenous lands.
Mm.
Cultures that have been erased. Ancient understanding that has been erased.
Mm.
That has, I mean, this, just that idea has to have so much power for you in your head if you're going to speak about gender.
Yeah.
And you cannot go without saying anything about it.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important. I'm being really like persistent on that because a lot of people don't want to link these two things, but they have to be linked.
I think you have to be honest with the root of a problem if you're going to fight for it.
Yeah.
So I completely understand what you're saying and that it needs to be acknowledged and spoken about more. So yeah. I'm glad that like you've spoken about it here when you've had the opportunity to. I did want to ask you a question. What is one apology that you've made in the past that you would like to take back?
Wow, that's a good question. You're good at this. An apology from the past that I would like to take back. I think it's an apology to myself.
Wow.
Yeah. Not really to people, but to myself. The amounts of time I said, you're not enough. You don't deserve to be here. Mm-hmm. You know, even considering life. I think, you know, and it's sad, but it's a pattern that repeats itself in so many people. And so many gender variant people. That is something. Here's the thing. I'm a strong believer, and you know that everything happens for a reason, and you have to go through things to get to another place. That probably took me here, right? But I don't think it's fair for us to engage in this narrative that because we're trans or queer or whatever, we have to be facing violence. It's not okay for us to think that we don't deserve joy.
Mm.
And with this thinking of, you know, that I don't deserve joy, you probably end up, you know, thinking things like that, like, is my life worth it?
Mm.
Does it have a purpose? I mean, we don't really have a purpose. We just have to exist. That would be lovely, right? If we could just be exist. I think that would be it. Yeah. Tell that little person like 8 years ago, it's fine.
Mm.
It's fine. And you have the right to be loved. You have the right to experience joy in your identity. It doesn't have to be a traumatic experience, even though the system, you know, tries to make it traumatic, but you have the right to joy. And therefore, you should have access to joy.
Mm.
And that is something a lot of trans people face on a daily. Mm. They believe, our belief system is that we're going to be traumatized, that we're going to be loved, that we're going to be, you know, because we see that on the media, we see that on the street. But actually, we deserve it as anyone else.
Mm.
At the end of the day, transness, non-binary, fine. We're human. At the end of the day, we're people.
Yeah.
You know? And we navigate society as other people. So that should be respected.
Mm.
I'm not crying, just my eyes watery.
Well, I think that is the perfect way to close it. Thank you so much,
babes,
for being here and for being honest with everything, sharing your story, talking about it, and just for everything that you're doing in general. Like, I love you so much.
And I love you too. I appreciate this moment so much. I've been missing, you know, speaking about these things with you. And in English, I think it's really important.
Mm.
You are changing things. And I'm happy to be here. Honestly, thank you.
Thank you. Is there anything you want to plug? You want to shout about?
Well, I mean, you can follow me on social media. No, it's just...
Oh, yeah. No, go I'm for just, it. Shameless.
Oh, just Jacob. No, but I'm just happy to say that these spaces are important because these are safe spaces.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are letting us express our needs, the pain, what we go through, and you do it in a beautiful way.
Oh.
I mean, come on. And that is important because I don't think there's a lot of safety in the streets lately.
Mm.
Not even in the streets, even at home, you know, like there's no safety in many ways. So it is great to tell people that we're actually going to have safety, that things are going to change, that things are changing already. Mm. And that is priceless. And you're doing that. So honestly, thank you.
Mm, thank you so much.
Love you.
Thank you. thanks for tuning into this episode of Say It With Your Chest. If you're loving the conversations that we're having, make sure to rate us 5 stars and to leave a review wherever you're watching or listening right now. Make sure to follow, like, and subscribe to all things Say It With Your Chest, and make sure you follow Girls Who Are Boys on Instagram and TikTok to know when the next episode will drop. See you next time. Insanity Group.